Blog Talk Radio.
Time is now 6:03 p.m. on the East Coast, 3:03 p.m. on the West Coast. Today is February the 19th, 2022. Oh, wow, just a month away, and I have a little celebration to deal with. Welcome to the TMGS, it's the Michael Gaye Show, broadcasting live. I'm broadcasting live from the ATL, Atlanta, Georgia. And we're going to start the show today with remembering a radio icon, Dalynn Tolliver. And I'm just holding off for a moment till my co-hosts and other individuals get a chance to get on the board. But we lost Lynn last weekend. And Lynn was just Lynn was just a unique individual. I had the pleasure and the honor to speak with him. I never met him in person. And Lynn actually was the person who gave me the opportunity to be on internet radio on the J. King Network. Now, there are some individuals or an individual who wants to claim that he was the one that got me the start on the J. King Network. But, you know, I was doing this long before I joined the J. King Network. I was live streaming before Zoom and what is the other one? StreamYard started. I was doing that a while back. But I don't know. It's kind of crazy how folks want to step forward and take credit for something that they really didn't have actual, or they really shouldn't get total credit for. Bottom line, it was Lynn Tolliver who made the final decision for me to be a host on the network. So that's how that went. But anyway, Lynn Tolliver Jr. was, as I said, a very unique voice in radio. He was so different. He started out at MCA Records, according to the articles that I read. And he just changed the landscape of radio in Cleveland, Ohio. He was a program director. He was the guy that, you know, he was the Tom Joyner, the Ricky Smiley, as the station had posted. The Tom Joyner, the Ricky Smiley, the Wendy Williams, all of them rolled up in one. He was every last one of them. In an era that, you know, doing risque radio was risque. Now it's just the norm. You just do anything on radio or whatever. It's allowed. But Lynn just he just walked the tightrope and managed to stay balanced through his whole career. He managed to stay balanced on that tightrope. And like I said, he was so creative, way ahead of his time. I sat back, and when I heard about his passing, I wanted to share this. It was through a host of a show on the J.K. Network, Makisha Best. She texted me and told me about it. And to be honest, I actually welled up, you know, because I'm like, wow, Lynn. You know, I knew he had some health issues in the past, and he was dealing with some in the present, but you just don't imagine, or, you know, you don't kind of feel like a person's just going to be gone the next day. You kind of figure that, well, they're just a little ill. They'll be all right, you know. But it was just, it just kind of took me off guard, you know. It really took me off guard. I didn't expect to get that type of news anytime soon. And I think many of us who knew Lynn or knew of Lynn didn't look at it, you know, didn't think that it would be so sudden or you know, that we'd be prepared for it. I guess that's the best way to say it. You're never prepared to lose someone that you love and that you respect and that you, you know, you honor and you, you know, in many ways look up to. You're never prepared for it. How do you? And at that time I wasn't. And I got to thinking, wow, I worked with a radio icon, you know, a radio icon. And looking at the love that's been poured out on the internet and on various shows, even, you know, which is kind of surprising too, his passing made national news. And when you look at some of the people who have passed, and we know that they passed, and you never see it on national news, you never hear about it. You know, on local news, yeah, of course. But it made national news. And I'm sure a lot of folks will probably like, Lynn who? Well, if you do some research, and we always say research, do some research on Lynn Tolliver Jr., and you'll appreciate what he has contributed to the radio industry, how he changed a lot of it. I learned a lot, even in the, what, 5 years or so, maybe six that I've known Lynn, I learned a lot from him. I learned a lot about him. And it's just what was an honor for me. Before I go any further, I want to open up some microphones here. I see my co-host, the lady of the house, the one and only Miss Janet Pollock Hawkins Davis here on the TMCS. Good evening, Janet. How you doing, my sister?
I'm great. I'm going to change my name.
Again? No, I'm just joking with you. You know I have
but,
to do that.
you, Mike, you're right. You never really get prepared to lose someone that you know or care about, especially when it's something sudden. You know, we're never promised tomorrow. We have to live each day like it's our last day. But
exactly.
It still becomes a shock when, you know, yeah. someone that you have known for quite a while end up passing,
mm-hmm.
you know. And, you know, I was looking at the information on Lynn, and I was like, well, you know, some of the articles didn't even – I mean, it was good articles, but the age? Do you
mm-hmm.
know how old Lynn really was?
Well, they post a lot. I've seen a lot that says 71.
71, 75, 71.
Yeah,
like, well,
I've
which
seen,
one
yeah,
is?
I've seen more than 71, but you're right. A lot of them don't have it, you know. I mean, they haven't nailed it down right, I guess. Right?
You know, he
so
might have been one of those people who don't really tell their age. You know,
that's
the only thing I could think of.
Yeah, that's a possibility.
But it's a loss, and I know he's going to truly be missed by not just the people on J. King Network, but everybody whose lives he
mm-hmm.
touched in some way.
Exactly.
They're gonna miss
and I've
mm-hmm.
talked to a few folks this past weekend. And some folks who were on the Food Critics, hopefully a couple of them will chime in. I hope they do, and share their experience and their fond memories of Lynn. You know,
mm-hmm.
The guy was just as I said, just you know, there's few, and me being an admirer of radio and people who do radio who made it a career. You know, we've been blessed to have Lynn on the show when we interviewed Jay King, right? Lynn was in on that interview, though Jay said it was a horrible interview. But Lynn said, no, I thought it was great, you know. And I'm like, okay, which way is it? I'm going to go with Lynn. So, but anyway,
mm-hmm.
but we've been blessed to have, like, Lee Bailey on and Lynn at the same time. And, you know, for me, these individuals are icons. You know, they were icons. They were so, and Lynn was just so, as I said, creative in what he did. But before we go into all that, I want to open up some microphones. I'm going to get to my co-host first, and then I see another individual who I'm glad to see on the board, and I'm going to open up their mic because they have some interesting, they knew Lynn, and they have some interesting things to share. But first, let me open up the mic all the way from Los Angeles, California. It's Hyman.
Hello, people. How are you?
All right, what's up,
Saturday, huh?
How are
yes,
you?
Yes, sir.
I'm doing well. You know.
That's good.
I can't complain. It won't do me no good, though, Janet. Ain't nobody going to listen to me if I do.
All right.
Well, we do, because that's how come we do the show. We'll listen, but we're not going to give you 2 hours of listening. We'll give you 5 minutes.
Dang, that ain't enough. I got a lot to say. I got enough pain out from my baby toe all the way up. Shoot, I got some strength to make.
Tyler,
okay.
We got to get you back on for another exclusive interview, because I know you probably got a lot of irons in the work, because all the things that you do, you know, so.
Well, yeah, I mean, you know, I'm getting back into my stand-up, putting things together, because I've been asked to go out and do cruise ships again. But I told them I'll only go out for a week. I won't do longer than that. Oh, 2 weeks is too long, because after a while, sitting up watching people eat pizza and ice cream at 1 o'clock in the morning, that ain't something I want to do. You know, just sitting around eating and people 400 pounds wearing bathing suits they know they shouldn't be wearing, you know.
Eating wrong.
And doing stuff they know they shouldn't be doing. So, hey, you know, so There's only so much you can do out there on the cruise ships. But, yeah, and, you know, we got the script going. I don't know if I even shared with you guys. I have, you know, one of the greatest bases in the world on my team to help me with my TV show. We're trying to get a either a showrunner or an executive producer to take us on, as well as representation. But I also I have one of the greatest guys, Mr. Stanley Clark, is part of my email.
Stanley, man. Okay, hold on a minute, you guys. I mean, fantastic. I mean, because Stanley Clark, if you guys know anything about music and know anything about the greatest bassist in the world, Stanley Clark is in the top five, if not number one. But Stanley Clark is definitely in the top five. There's no doubt. I still play School Days and that whole album. I still play that. Oh, of course, he's worked with so
Mike,
many
we had lunch
areas.
With him.
But hold on a minute. I'm sorry, but I want to stay on track because we are honoring this first part of the show, Lynn Tolliver Jr. So I want to go ahead and open up another moment to Mr. Lynn Tolliver Jr. Sit back and you'll check this out, because I'm going to share some clips of him speaking of the things that he would do. I open up the mic to Cotton Campbell. Hey, Cotton, how you doing, my sister? Another co-host.
Hey, everybody. It's good to be here.
Hi, Cotton. How are you?
You okay?
I'm good. I'm great.
Okay.
No, I'm out here doing big things. We got a mega giveaway on Thursday where we're giving away stuff to the community.
Okay. As I was saying earlier, is that I want to go back and read something to you guys real quick, and maybe it'll make it clear of why we are paying tribute to this gentleman. And I got to find it because Lynn Tolliver changed the playing field in the music industry, or in the radio industry, I should say. He really did. He was so creative at what he did. He was like the, as they said in the article, he was like the Wendy Williams, the Tom Joyner, the Ricky Smiley, before we even knew those folks at the radio station that he was at. So let me give you guys a little background here. As I pull up this article. And it's kind of lengthy, and I'm going to just do a little bit of it, and then I'll come back to a little bit more later on. But here it says, Cleveland, Ohio. When news of Lynn Tolliver Jr.'s death spread this week, stories started pouring in from listeners in Cleveland and around the world on social media. Tolliver, born Orion Lynn Tolliver Jr., was a mainstay at Cleveland Radio for much of the 1980s and 90s, hosting Just the Two of Us with Ralph Poole on WZAK FM 93.1. Listeners loved him, remembering him for his zany on-air antics and his work leading early hip-hop band Sexual Harassment. The former WZAK program director, DJ, and musician died on Sunday, February 13th, following a short illness. He was 71 years old. Tolliver is survived by his wife, Sharon Tolliver, and children Ryan Arison and Orion Tolliver III, said nephew Dave Tolliver, who lovingly referred to himself as Lynn's nephson. Quote, "He raised me as my son," Dave said. "He was my dad." "This truly hurts," wrote actress Yvette Nicole Brown on Twitter. "When I was a kid in East Cleveland, Lynn Tolliver was Cleveland radio. He was a legend. He ruled the 80s and 90s. Rest well, kind sir." And there's many of them that said different things throughout, but and I'm going to skip some of those. But let me get to this important part. Putting WZAK on the map. A Northeast Ohio native, Tolliver began working on the local airways at age 18, working for WJMO AM 1490 during the soul radio heyday of the late 1960s. He worked at WABQ AM 1540 in its Tiger Radio era, then switched to Top 40 at Akron's WCUE AM 1150 and at the old WGCL FM for a time in the 70s. Zapp is, and I think I'm pronouncing it right, and this was the owner of the station, said that Tolliver even worked for a time as a mailman in Cleveland and as a radio host in Columbus, driving back and forth between the two cities every day for his respective shifts. By the early 80s, he was working as the Urban Contemporary Program Director for MCA Records in Detroit. That's where Zappes and his late father, Zen, found him. They hired Tolliver at WZAK in 1982 on the recommendation of Ray Calabrese, the manager of the Dazz Band. Quote, "I can still remember the first time I met him," Lee Zappa said. "He came in, big smile on his face. He always had a smile on his face with a jerry curl, which was a popular hairstyle at the time. That meeting was the start of a 40-year friendship and a long-term collaboration that brought WZAK to the national forefront of urban radio. Tolliver served as a program director at WZAK from 1982 until 2000, leaving shortly after Zappa's family sold the station to Radio One," which, as you guys know, Radio One owns a lot of stations. All right. Later that year, he became the first black person to be a career achievement honoree of the Cleveland Association of Broadcasters. Tolliver built WZAK into a ratings powerhouse with national influence, particularly in the black community. The station's success also led to a good deal of celebrity. Tolliver attained superstar status in Cleveland in the 80s and 90s. He regularly grabbed headlines for his promotions and nabbed interviews with established superstars and up-and-coming artists. Even bullets failed to stop him. In 1985, he was shot three times in the WZAK studio by an unknown gunman and survived. Quote, "He was able to bounce back from that, literally a near-death experience, and maintain his spirit and sense of humor. Once, WZAK hosted a survey to find the station's most popular DJs, and Tolliver was at the top," said Mike Hilbert, the former sales leader for WZAK. Quote, "Lynn Tolliver's recognition percentage was higher than Walter Cronkite at the time. The listeners worshipped him. He was the man in the black community for many years." I'll go on to read some more later on, but that's something. I didn't know that he was shot until recently, you know, by unknown gunmen. And survive, of course. But anyway, on to and as it says, and later on I'll read some of this thing. But he would do certain antics, like he at they would have ticket giveaways to shows and everything. So they came up with this zany idea: a person who brings the biggest cockroach to the radio station wins the tickets. The biggest cockroach? Who thinks of these things? Only a Lynn Tolliver could. There's other stories, and there's other things that I want you guys to know about. And I want to read this real quick, and then we'll move on, that you probably didn't know. Beyond his work at WZAK, Tolliver also made a name through his band Sexual Harassment, which released the album I Need a Freak in 1982. Some of you guys may remember that. Some of you may not. The title track was later sampled, most notably by Black Eyed Peas in 2005 for the song My Humps. Tolliver later sued, claiming the song had been licensed to the band without his permission. A jury agreed, awarding him a $1.2 million judgment in 2011. Now look at the years. The song was 1982. Black Eyed Peas sampled it in 2005. Lynn got a settlement in 2011. The money arrived at a good time while Tolliver was unemployed and living in Tampa. Dark Entries Records re-released I Need a Freak album on vinyl in early 2021, which was in recent years. It became it came with a blurb written by Tolliver, and it says, quote, "As you well know, all of the songs on the album are sexually based. I learned as a youngster, sex sells. The things that are rated the worst, violence, horror, and sex, are the things people want to see or hear about. Good news and good stories don't draw flies. You have to have a little shit in the game to get a following." That was Lynn. I do believe he was telling the truth, because look at what we hear today.
Well, you know, Mike, they was bringing in big cockroaches, and he talking about you got to add a little shit to the game. Hey, you know, I guess he was, you know, keeping it real, as they say.
Well, he was. Yeah.
Although about bringing the biggest cockroach, I don't, you know, an East St. Louis cockroach. Maybe them Texas cockroaches probably would have been your biggest. Them the only ones that will talk to you and tell you, no, bro, don't step here. Them the only ones that do that. You know, that's kind of crazy. Who can bring in the biggest cockroach?
Right.
Who would do that?
We have a bug down here in Georgia, and some people nicknamed it the Georgia Jumper, but it's like a water bug, and it flies and it hops and it's hard to kill.
Oh, watch out now.
It looks like a gigantic cockroach.
Well, yeah.
It's probably just doesn't
it. But still, again, it is a roach. It's in the roach family. To me, a roach is a roach, no matter how big it is, how small it is. If it can jump, if it can fly, if it can crawl, if it can swim. And believe it or not, roaches can swim. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Roaches can swim. I'm not saying for personal.
Also, you know, down there in Florida, they got some flying cockroaches, and they got mosquitoes that look like birds. So I don't know. Mm-hmm. Hell, he might be down there. You know, don't come to Florida. No, yeah, I'm good. You know, that's where they got some sunk holes. Yeah. Your whole house will disappear while you in it.
Yeah. Mm-mm-mm. But I just want to say, because the time is, we're almost 30 minutes into the show. I want to play a few clips of Lynn, because he's the one who gave me my start on the J. King Network. And I don't want to tell my truth, you know, totally right now. In fact, one day, Janet, I'm going to go into the archives. I'm going to grab some clips, because there are some things that are being said. I don't want to go into the whole story, but what had occurred is that Lynn hooked up with J. King. They started the J. King Network. Just a little short history with the different salesmen. And Lynn had a show called The Cool Critics. There were co-hosts. There were folks there, Dawson Young, Aaron Anderson, quite a few other folks that was chiming in. And I would call in and listen to the conversation, throw my two cents in from time to time, you know, and everything. But at some point, Lynn decided not to host the show anymore. So they got DLW, his name is Daryl Williams, who had a show on the network also, but his show was on Sundays. But then he did The Cool Critics on Saturdays. Well, they didn't like DLW because they felt like he was trying to make The Cool Critics like his show, The Unity Movement. So they let him go. I got a text from Lynn for me to call him. And I called him. There's only one person I know right now that can do Lynn Tolliver's voice. And, I mean, it is scary how well. They call him Six Eyes. And, you know, Lynn was like, you know, Michael, good. I want to ask you a question. You know, how would you feel about hosting The Cool Critics? And I was taken aback. I'm like, how would I feel about doing what? Well, you can think about it. And I'm like, yeah, I have to think about it. He said, no rush. Just let me know. I'm like, okay. And I thought about it. It took me a few days. And I said, okay, what will I be doing? I said, you'll be hosting this show. He said, but there's only one thing you must do. I said, what is that? He said, you have to play the intro and the outro. You can't change that. Well, what had occurred is that, you know, I was like, okay. So I agreed to do it. And Jenna, as you know, all hell broke loose because they really wanted a button pusher. They wanted me to just push the buttons, open up mics, you know, start the show and this and the other because nobody
else,
none of them were available to host the show. They didn't want to host the show. They were too busy. They had too much going on in their lives. But they wanted a button pushed every Saturday for two hours.
Wait, they wanted to host the show. They just didn't want to run the board.
Right, right. They didn't want to be responsible to run the board, which is so simple. The board is not as hard as people think. It is where you have to do certain things in order to broadcast. Mm-hmm. You have to go into Blog Talk Radio and fill in all the blanks.
Mm-hmm.
Every single line, it says required. You have to fill in all the blanks before you can actually post your show. I have to do it every week. And I made it a point to, you know, once I agreed to it, hell, I had stuff to do. In fact, at the time when I was working at Lowe's, I would get off at a certain time. I'm sorry, I was off on Saturdays. I was like, okay, cool, I'll do it. But then later on when I changed positions, I didn't have Saturdays off anymore. And I said, well, I was talking to my supervisor. I said, well, you know, I'm doing a show now. It starts at 6 p.m. He said, well, we'll make some adjustments. You can't have every Saturday off. But what we'll do, we'll schedule you to work, you know, 8 in the morning, and you can get off at 4. That gives you 2 hours before you have to do your show. And I'm like, okay, cool. So I did it.
Mm-hmm.
Fast forward. I work for another company now. And the same thing applies. I told them, I said, hey, look, Saturdays I do this. They're like, no problem. We'll just give you your Saturdays off. But the question is this, is when people say that, or some folks say that where, you know, you change the show, you change the format. Lynn Tolliver told me, he said, Michael, I'm going to tell you one more time. The only thing you got to do is play the intro and the outro. What happens in between those two points of the show is on you. You're the host. And other individuals couldn't accept that. They said, Lynn didn't tell you that. Why would I lie on Lynn Tolliver?
Right.
Why would I, you know, why would I do that? And again, it goes back to this. And I didn't really want to go into this, but it hurts my heart that people will sit up here and go on another show and claim I ruined a show. Well, you guys didn't take the helm and run the show the way that you felt it was. I made adjustments to try to, keep the show going.
And you have to format. You know, you can't just turn the mic on and wing it. You have to know what you're going to talk about, you know, and you got a lot of resistance to the point where if we were in a room, it probably would have been fights going on.
Fights. And you know what's so crazy about it is that where, here's the thing, but this is true. Lynn Tolliver was very different. I'm not Lynn Tolliver, though. See, Lynn would come up with a topic, and he'd throw it out there, and it's like throwing, you know, meat to the hounds. Lynn was very smart. He'd throw it out there and let them, you know, fight over it. He really didn't have to talk. He'd just throw out the topic, and they'd go and run with it. That's how it operated. But I had a different feel about it. And while some of the cool critics slowly but surely started leaving the cool critics, I was slowly but surely bringing people in. Right, Janet?
Yeah. Yes. You, well, you brought me in before people started leaving.
Uh-huh.
You know, and, you know, but, yeah, they started leaving one by one.
The
co-host,
right.
Major complaints for no reason. They wouldn't bring up topics, you know, or anything that we should talk about, but they just, like I said, they just wanted you to push buttons and not talk. If you open your mouth, they thought you were talking too much.
Mm-hmm.
So it was like a
Why would I adjust my life and adjust
mm-hmm.
what I'm doing?
Mm-hmm.
They were complaining, or I won't say complaining, but they were claiming that, well, I don't have the time to do it. Well, you should have made the time. And even one individual said on Jay King's show, and Jay said, well, wait a minute, in defense of Michael Gay, how come none of you guys took the helm? Like I said, the board mm-hmm. is not that difficult to run. And you got to run it for 2 hours. I adjusted. Hell, they could have turned around and said, well, you know what? You run the board this Saturday. I'll run it next Saturday. You know, they could have figured it out. But
mm-hmm.
they were too fucking lazy to do so. That's just the bottom line. That's just the truth. But back to the what I'm saying is that but Lynn Tolliver had trust and faith in me. And the last time I talked to Lynn was on Valerie Denise Jones' show. She, well, on the Judge Joe Brown show, she had a segment with a gentleman named Emilion White. And he was talking about Cleveland and radio and all kinds of other stuff. I asked him, did you know Lynn Tolliver? He said, Lynn Tolliver, of course. I'm hoping Emilion will call in. He said, yeah, well, while he was sharing that, Valerie calls Lynn, and Lynn answers the phone, which Lynn was not always calling you right back. He would call you back, but not right back all the time because
mm-hmm.
he stayed busy. The man stayed busy. Quickly, I want to share a few things. I already told you about the thing about the song with Black Eyed Peas. There's another story that's out there, and I'm not sure if any of you heard it, but Hall & Oates, Daryl Hall and John Oates, you know their hit classic, Sarah Smile. The story goes like this. Sarah Smile was not meant to be a hit. It was actually the B-side, okay? And Lynn got a hold of the single, and he flipped it over, started playing Sarah Smile, and people started calling into the station. Who's that? What? And I've heard even Jay King say this, that to this day, Daryl Hall and John O said, if it wasn't for Lynn Tolliver Jr., that song would not have been, it was not on the radar to be a hit.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't on the radar. Thanks to Lynn. He had an ear. He knew a good song. You know, so I'm going to miss him. You know, I've never met the man in person, but just talking to him and learning from him. No, I'm not the greatest host on the show. Some folks said, I said, well, you know, I've been blessed to have some great guests. It's not about the guests. It's about the host. You're a horrible host. I'm like, well, if I'm so fucking horrible, how come the guests come back? How come they return?
Mm-hmm.
Explain that to me. But then you guys sit up 5 days a week on some shows, cackle like hams. 1 week you hate each other, next week you all buddy-buddy, and then guaranteed it's going to happen. Guaranteed it's going to happen. Y'all going to have another falling out. But it goes back to what we said. That's what people like. That's entertainment. And they do a good job over there. It's a different world over here.
Can I say something?
Sure.
I was very uncomfortable being feeling like I was on Jerry Springer instead of Cool Critics. You know, to the point where they a few times chase guests callers and guests away because they were bickering. And
you know, I mean, and that works for some folks. And Tom, and you know, I mean, I want you to chime in on this. You know that. I mean, you've been in the industry for a while. You know that some folks love that type of stuff. But is it really necessary for everybody to have the same format? Does everybody have to be bickering and fussing and hollering? And
no,
really?
It doesn't have to be. I mean, people love, in our crazy society, people love conflict. They love conflict because conflict sells. That's why reality TV is where it is today. Something weird, something crazy, something, you know, but if it's, you know, but it doesn't have to be because I listen to different programs like, what is that, Ibram Kendi's Anti-Racist. You've got, you know, different shows on the political shows, stuff on nature. Mm-hmm. I mean, it depends on what you're into, but some people turned it into a cult. Like, I mean, that's the reason why Joe Rogan is huge. Joe Rogan is huge because people, you know, he is a smart man and he's a funny guy, but he's intelligent. He's not dumb. But he'll twist things just enough to suck you in.
Yep.
Nobody questions it. And his audience is, you know, they're looking for someone to think like they do because nobody wants to question him. Everything is liberal and Republican and this and that. And if it can cause a fight and cuss people out and call people names, but then all of a sudden they found out that old Joe called black folks monkeys and called them some niggas. And they are now all of a sudden, oh, wait a minute. Well, he's not a racist. I've never known him. Okay, but you can't do that. You can't do that because now, you know, with social media and everything, you got to watch because we got fools out there. As I always say, Jim Jones, if he had social media today or Charles Manson, how many people would have they really killed?
Yeah, definitely.
So you got to watch what you say, you know, and how much control. Yeah, you got freedom of speech, but also there's a consequence. Well, when you open your mouth and say some things, you know, even in Hollywood, Hollywood is all about relationships, the right relationships, you'll be successful. But if you create some crap, I don't care if you what you're doing, hey, you end up getting a bad name, anybody going to work with you.
Mm-hmm.
And with that being said, I want to play this clip, you guys. If you've never heard Lynn Tolliver's voice, well, now you're going to. On Kings in the Morning, Lynn would do the daily prayer. And actually, I didn't realize this when I was searching a few things, and I went on to YouTube, and when I was looking for the song, I Need a Freak. And like I said, after the passing of Lynn, I listened to it like 3 or 4 times. And it's such a creative song. It's funny, but it's a lot of fun. And I understand why the Black Eyed Peas took it and used it. It's just got that primitive, basic groove to it, and it's infectious. I mean, you just move to it. But here's a clip from Lynn Tolliver that you can also listen to. He's asked many of his prayers, and it's called "Prayers by Lynn Tolliver." This one is called "It's Us," and it's appropriate for what was just said. Here we go. Well, this pinwheeling hopefully is going to play. Give me a moment. Well, I might have to work on this one because it's not coming up. I don't know why. Let me work on it and I'll come back to you guys. I apologize. Okay, so let me try this one. And maybe I'll get a response. But like you said, time and that's what sells. That's what we're into. We're into the reality shows and the violence. And that's another thing, like I said to Janet before, that I posted that it's amazing how America has this love affair of violence in movies and music, you know, and television and everything. You know, when you go back and you look at, you know, what we grew up to and what we looked at then, and you got so many ways to watch it and listen to it. You know, I've said this over and over again, but I remember when we only had 3 or 4 television stations. Now you have hundreds. And if you really take the time and look at what is broadcast, more than 90%, well, maybe not 90, but I'm willing to say at least 75 to 80%, there's some kind of violence going on.
You know, Mike, I never thought we would have a president that was like a Jim Jones and have a whole party drink the Kool-Aid and follow him to the point they would follow him off a cliff. But it happens. And, you know, it's unreal to see how people believe the lies and the rhetoric and the alternative facts and, you know, just the craziness that's been going on within a party and groups like MAGA and QAnon and, you know, it's just unreal, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So we went through 4 years of being in a reality show. 4 years. And still going on.
Well, that may all be true. You know, but, you know, leaders, when you're talking about leaders, we had, there's been leaders of countries who have been, you know, very negative. I mean that's just the history of the world. But here in the United States, you're talking about, which I know who you're talking about, right? I'm kind of wondering what is that party trying to do now, as far as what comes next. What should we prepare ourselves for? Because it still kills me. We say the United States of America, but we are so divided.
That's
I think
right.
It should be changed to the divided states of America. When you look at things now, just in recent weeks, if you look at where there's a video that shows these two kids that got into a fight at a mall, one white, one black. And you look at the video and you see the white kid putting his finger in the black kid's face, and the black kid slaps his hand away from his face. Because now you're invading my space when you put your finger in front of me, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's invasion, you know, because that can be perceived as a threat. And they get into a fight. Here comes the cops. Now, all the respect
white kid
to the white
on top
kid,
of the black kid.
Well, he was. And then the cops separate him. The lady cop sits him on the couch. The white kid did put his hands up like to be ready to be handcuffed, but they don't handcuff him. The other cop has got the black kid on the ground, lifts him up and slams him back down, and then puts his knee in the back. And here comes the lady cop walking away from the white kid who's sitting on the couch, and she comes to assist in the handcuff. What's wrong with that picture?
Mm-hmm.
They both were. Actually, she's an officer. She should have been cuffing the white kid. When he offered,
what you saying, Mike? Watch out now! Watch out, Mike! What you saying? What you saying, Mike? Are you trying to call a racial, Mike?
You know what I'm saying.
Are you going down that race road, Mike?
You damn right.
Watch out now.
Hello.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's
help
clear.
Out, Janet. Help out, Janet. He going down that road, Janet. He going down that
that's
road.
Right. It's clear as water, and you can see through that.
Right.
It's clear as water. It's in video. You can't excuse yourself for what you did and your actions. That's just one situation.
And it's just, it's
look
just
at all, look at all the people who cheated and voted fraud with their parents, their wives, their spouses that were deceased, and they got a slap on the wrist in probation. And then people who really tried to vote the right way, didn't even vote, got prison time, 5 to 6 years. You know, the double standard is just outrageous when it comes to, you know, minorities and majority. I'll say minorities and majority. Blacks and whites. Hispanics and Asians. People of color.
That's very true.
You know.
We're almost at the top of the hour. I want to say this, is that we're almost at the top of the hour, and I want to close on I'm sorry I wasn't able to bring up the clip of Lynn Tolliver. Been working on that, but all due respect, I'm going to really miss that brother, and I really am honored that he gave me a platform. And I know there's quite a few folks who knew Lynn or knew of Lynn. I'm just thankful that I was able to work with a guy that is just not just a Cleveland legend, he's a radio industry legend. I don't want to, you know, stray away from that. We are going to change gears because at the top of the hour, we have our special guest returning to us again, the one and only Akbar the Great, with a new single. His first interview, he said, Janet was with us when he released his first single. And then he came back with his second one, which we're going to hear all three of we're going to hear the first two that we heard here, and then the recent one with the one and only Miss Karen White is on this single with Akbar. So that should be a lot of fun. So you guys, please stay tuned for that conversation. I just don't know why I couldn't get that one clip to play, but I see a hand raised here in the or on the board.
It's us, the violence and the craziness. We are the ones who want it. God help us. Help us all. We crave sorrow and displeasures to the masses. Proof. How many Sounder movies do you see at the theater when they are flocking to see The Evil Dead, Zombies from Another Planet, or Serial Killer number 209? 3. Yeah, 2 sequels to the first one. We are attracted to Jodi Arias, that violent slaying she did, and the sexual description. It is us, Lord, save us. The brawl on the baseball field between the Dodgers and the Padres. The many, many celebrity divorces and political scandals. We crave it. Sop it up like syrup and bread. All the chilling info we seek and search. It's us. And as long as we demand it, illegal or not, as long as we want it, it will keep coming. God save the world and save us from the violent lust we have, the thirst for, and bring about peace within for all of us. I ask this because I know you can do it. Amen.
Amen. We were just talking about that. And I'm glad I downloaded that. Again, you guys, you can go to YouTube and pull up by Lynn Tolliver. And he's got a bunch of them. And just the way he put these together makes you go, you know, it really does. It really does. Okay, so we're almost at the top of the hour. Janet, you want to elaborate more on what you were saying about the voting thing? We'll switch gears here. Here's people who have broke the law, got probation for illegally voting twice or registering to vote. There was a young lady this past week who has gone to court, and I need to try to pull that up. But they sentenced her how much time, even after they told her she was okay to vote?
Yes, after they told her she was okay to vote, and she really didn't vote, but I think she got 5 years. But then there was another lady that got 6, and a guy who got, I think, 5. But I think it's just outrageous that they tried to do the right thing and ask questions, and they told this first lady, I think she was in Texas, or was it the one in Tennessee? Well, she asked questions about, you know, could she vote? Because, you know, and they told her yes, but then when she went to vote, they told her she couldn't. And because she didn't even vote, they still pressed charges, and she's got to serve 5 years prison.
Mm-hmm.
I think, you know, it's just the double standard is just unreal. You know, people are trying to cancel out history by, you know, they want to, you know, just like January 6th, for instance. It happened. You can't say that it was a peaceful protest. It was not. You know?
True. And then again, I don't want to be all over the place because we're almost at the top of the hour, but I want to throw this out here to you guys. You know about the Officer Potter, Simon, that we talked about this, who shot and killed Deontay White. She was sentenced yesterday. Her sentencing was yesterday. She got 2 years.
Mm.
2 years in prison. Insult to injury, because the family was not satisfied. One family member thought she should at least got, well, she could have got 15. One family member thought, well, she should have got 10. Some folks, she should have got maybe half of the 15, 7 years, 7.5, maybe even 6. But she got 2 years, where she can also get out on probation after so many months and be under supervised. Okay, be supervised.
She probably already got some time served from being in prison.
Right.
And
you do get, in a lot of cases, you do get time served after already being behind bars. And I wouldn't put it past that, you know. Now, I liked this judge during the trial, but to only have 2 years, I think that's an insult, because you look at people who are in prison for 20 years for a lesser crime, for drugs.
Or 40 for being an innocent behind bars.
Right. But here is a fact, and I get it where they say, well, she made a mistake. Okay, she made a mistake. But that is not an excuse for taking a life. You still took a life. It's not like you stole something, you broke something. You took a life. You are a professional. You are supposed to be trained. How your day went wrong that day is nobody's fault but yours. You can't blame anybody else but yourself, because no one else is going to believe you. Just when Timon came on the show, he said, I could complain, but nobody's going to listen. He's damn right, because people got other things that they're worried about. They don't give a damn about you and what you're dealing with. Not really. They got their own issues. So for her to have that bad day and accidentally shoot and kill an individual after all these years, you can't blame the dead person. So, but just wanted to throw that out there, that she got 2 years, and more than likely, she probably won't do the entire she probably won't serve the entire time. Some folks try to say that, well, she's probably going to almost lose her mind being in a 4x8 cell, you know, so many hours a day. Well, that's her fault. I mean, and it goes back to where we look at violence and how violence fell, as it was said, and this and the other, but how some violence or some killings are acceptable. And there's excuses for why many people are killed.
Right.
There's too many excuses now and not enough punishment.
Mm-hmm.
It shouldn't be where, well, due to the fact of her background and her history and everything, that has nothing to do with it. Hell, Donald Trump told you if I went down on what is it, whatever avenue and shot somebody, people will still vote for him. That's a society that we that believes that shit.
Yeah, he said Fifth Avenue.
Fifth Avenue. And obviously it's true. Because we will excuse certain crimes. We will. We'll excuse it. We'll make it where, well, they were really a good, you know, he's a good president. I don't care about what he does, you know. Yeah, he shot that guy, but he should still stay in office. Really? He's running the country well. He killed somebody. That's basically what you're saying. It's stupidity. So
and it's what
on
they did, because he was impeached, but he stayed in office twice.
Right. But you guys, you know, hey, you know, we'll talk about that on another show. I don't want to get into that now because right now the time is 7:01 p.m. on the East Coast, and it's time for us to shift gears and bring in our special guest. So I'm going to take a quick break and come right back, and I believe they're on the board. If the guest is there, please do me a favor. Hit the number one on your phone so I can see you're here. And once they get here, let's see. They hit the number one on their phone. We'll open up their mic. Hold on a minute. All right. So, by the way, we lost Timon. Timon has a previous engagement, which he spends an hour with us in the first part of the show. So thank you, Timon, again, for joining us. And anybody else who wants to chime in to the conversation and into the show, you can hit the number one on the board. Or you can go to www.blogtalkradio.com/TMGS and join the chat room. And I will read your questions or comments live on the air. Okay, so Bring It Boy is on the board. He's in the chat room. Hello, Bring It Boy. How you doing this Saturday? I'm sure he's going to respond. Thank you for joining us. And let's see. But you know, Janet, as I wait for our guest, it's interesting again to see how what we were just talking about, the two kids who had to fight in the mall, tackle the black kid, hold him down, let the white kid sit on the couch. And I'm not trying to make this a racial thing, but it's very clear as day, you guys. So, you know, it was not my doing. It's what I'm
You know,
at.
Mike.
And now, hold on a minute. Hold on. I want to finish this. I want to finish this. And I'll let you chime in. I'm looking at this. It's not my doing. I'm just sharing that here's a person who was trying to vote. They did the right thing. They went, spoke to a person. They told her. Oh, no, you're eligible. And then turn around, even though she didn't vote. Well, you attempted to vote. So that's why we're going to charge you. She went by the rules. Okay? Now let's look at the Breonna Taylor. Y'all remember the black woman who was shot and killed in her own apartment on a no-knock warrant, which we talked about, no-knock warrants. Well, this trial is about to start Monday for the officer. Not the killing of Breonna Taylor, but the fact that he shot into a neighboring apartment. That's what he's going to court for.
Right.
Who's responsible for Breonna Taylor's death? It looks like there will be no justice for this person being killed. Just like 2 years, in my opinion, and in that family's opinion, Deontay Wright is not justice. I mean, you have people, as we just said, in prison for drug charges for 20 years or more. What is wrong with our judicial system? And you can't say it's not racial. To a certain extent, yes, it is. Yes, it is.
Yeah, it's a double standard, you know. If you don't have money and
Wait a minute. Bring it, boy. Wait a minute. I'm sorry, Jonah. Bring it, boy. Are you serious? This is what he posted in the chat room. Breonna Taylor is responsible for her death?
What?
What you just posted here? Or she, I don't know. I mean, it could be...
Well,
it could be him or her because they use the same handle. But Breonna
Taylor,
if you're
in the bed asleep and somebody breaking in your house, you don't know who it is. They weren't saying police.
I want you, bring it, boy, to have some balls or tits. I don't know which one of y'all it is, if it's the husband or wife. Call into the show. I want you to verbally tell me. I don't want you to chat with me. I want you to verbally tell everyone why Breonna Taylor is responsible for her death. I don't want to read everything you got here, because you really got to come back with an answer on that one.
Mm.
Oh, okay, it's she. Well, you know, the she comes over the handle too. Okay, you will. All right. I'm going to let you go ahead and explain to us how she's responsible, okay? But hold tight here. I gotta look and see if our guest is here yet. If the guest is on the board, please hit the number one so I can open up your mic. Hit the number one on your phone, and I see some numbers. There we go. All right, we got it right. All right. So bring it, boy, you're going to have to hold tight a minute because I'm not going to waste my time with you right now. We'll have to go back to you at a later date for you to make that comment. I really want to hear your response to it. I got other things to do right now and keeping the show going as planned. But we'll get into that conversation. You're welcome to come back next week and explain why you think that. Okay, you guys, the time is now 7:08 p.m. It is February the 19th, 2022, and I am thankful and honored to have a guest back onto the show. They came on when they did their first release, and it was just an awesome track. And then they came back with their second release, another awesome track. And now they're back with their third, and wow, brother just keeps doing it over and over and over again. So let me do this. I'm going to scroll down here, and I do apologize I'm taking so long. I'm going to scroll down here and let you guys hear one of his tracks. The first one we heard when he first came on the show. I think I got it. So you guys, stay tuned. I'm going to open up the mic, but listen to the first track we heard from Akbar the Great. It's called Young Righteous Black Girl, also known as YRBG. Akbar the Great will join us momentarily. You're listening to the TMGS, the Michael Gay Show, broadcasting live from the ATL, Atlanta, Georgia. We'll be right back.
There's something about you.
This is not an interview. I ain't asking none of them open-ended questions. Beta conversation spiritual. I don't believe in miracles.
The aboriginal tattooed to the pineal just to paint the proper visual. We can take it to Timbuktu, an ancient chemist. Walk through the exhibit, see evidence that you did it. It's evident you a star, Mrs. Ebony Brown. Your body really the kingdom, your fro is really a crown. And they just trying to keep you down, but I ain't here to harm you. Stick by my side, I got that armor. Stick to my side, good luck chain, you the one I'm charming. Know I got your back like Charmin. You can be my Winnie Mandela, won't let the devil cause trauma. Everywhere they go, they bring drama. Nation building time, a young nigga need to get in the farm. And it's sad cause we don't control nothing, but we control something. And that's me and you. The only thing left is we gotta get in tune with the Most High. His mansion has many rooms. Elevate the kids by telling the truth. It's no Saint Nick and no fairy tooth. Black's not an offspring, it's the only rule. Young righteous black girl, I'ma marry you. Young righteous black girl, I'ma marry. Look, I got a question for all of us out there dealing with self-hate, too afraid to address it. First step, just confess it. We all niggas just dealing with 400 years of death and oppression. Being black is a blessing, they say it's a curse. Gotta alter the script just so they can put themselves first. Heads in the clouds with no morals, so your heart's in the dirt. They claim reverse racism when you started it first, but we started you first. Respect your mother and father so your days be long. Probably wouldn't see you tomorrow. One book of math, we gave these people to borrow. Strange fruit swinging cause all they gave us was sorrow. Take a look through the lens. If the head ain't happy, I don't even wanna bring her in. And no, I don't mean to offend, but I love myself, so I guess it is what it is, yo. This is not an interview. I ain't asking none of them open-ended question. Beta conversation spiritual. I don't believe in miracles. The aboriginal tapping to the pineal just to paint the proper visual. We can take it to Shangri-La, our ancient Nubia, where you live life in the past. That shit ain't new to you. Young righteous black girl, goddamn, you're beautiful. Young righteous black girl, goddamn. Young righteous black girl, goddamn, you're beautiful. Young righteous black girl, goddamn.
All right, welcome back to the TMGS. I'm sorry about that. You tune in to the TMGS, the Michael Gaze Show. Janet, you there? Okay.
Yes. All right,
there you are. All right, you guys. I'm sorry. I got some text messages and some calls that came through, and some folks were saying that there were some technical issues. And so we're just trying to work it out on this end, you guys. So please bear with us. All right, so we're back. That is Akbar the Great, and what we're going to do is open up his microphone and welcome him to the show. Please put your hands together for our special guest, Akbar the Great. Come on, y'all, get it up.
Woo! Yes.
Hey, man, I appreciate the love. I appreciate that that love and exposure right there, man. It means the world, man. How you doing today?
Doing great, my brother, and thank you so much for joining us today. You know, when I think back to, I remember you saying, hey, this is my first radio interview with us. I mean, that was such an honor. And then for you to come back a second time with your second release, which we're going to play, and now the new release with the one and only Miss Karen White, that's awesome, man. You are just definitely doing your thing. And I want to make sure that everybody on the board gets a chance to say hello to you, Janet, and also Cotton Campbell. Say hello to our guest, Akbar the Great.
Well, hello there.
How you doing?
Great. We're looking forward to your listening to your new song.
Oh, yes, ma'am. Well, I can't wait for y'all to check it out. You know, I actually just recently dropped a EP streaming on all music platforms from Apple Music, Spotify. It's called Born King. So, you know, feel free, man. Please check it out. You know, any feedback is good feedback. So, you know, I'm excited for it, man. I like it. I'm sorry.
No, you good. No, you good. I know sometimes it kind of like, you know, has a little issue here when we're trying to speak and respond. That happens from time to time.
Yeah, man. I was just saying that, you know, I really appreciate the platform, man. It's a pleasure to be back.
Oh, man, we thank you, of course. We were speaking earlier in the first hour, of Lynn Tolliver, the passing of Lynn Tolliver. And I'm sure you've heard the name or you know of Lynn. I don't know if you ever met him. But he narrated the movie Gale in the Storm, and I'm sure you've seen the movie. You have to. You better have, of course, because your dad is in the movie and director, right?
Most definitely.
Do you have anything you want to share about your either meeting Lynn or talking with Lynn? Just your thoughts about the gentleman.
Well, see, I actually never personally met him. I've only heard my dad talking about him in conversations and stuff like that here and there, man. So I never like personally met him, but I heard that he was his voice was dope. You know, on Gale in the Storm, man, on the movie, he just had a distinguished voice, and so, you know, it's crazy, man, just seeing somebody that, young, you know, because you know we talk about 50s and the 60s, it's really not that old, man. The older I get, I say that. But as a teenager, you know, that was like a grandpa age. But, you know, the older I get, man, I begin to realize that it's not that old, man. So it really strikes a chord, you know, saying, mm-hmm. seeing people like my dad's age and my mom's age like that, you know, go so tragically.
Okay. Now what I was told is that you're, of course, I'm sure you're always writing, you're always creating and everything. But I spoke with an individual, and they told me, well, you know, he's doing something different right now, which is you went back to school, you're finishing up your education, which I was like, okay. Now I know there are some rappers, some artists out there that, that actually have degrees. And I was impressed to hear that you're like, okay, I'm going to finish my education. If you don't mind sharing with us, what are you studying? And proud to hear that, or happy to hear that.
Oh, yes, sir, man. I actually study computer science. I'm a computer science major. This is my junior year, I would say, but I took a break. I took 3 years off of school. So just coming back and getting acclimated back into, like, you know, being in that scholarly environment, man, you know what I'm saying? It hasn't been like a big culture shock, but it's just really been something I've been eager to come back and do. So the transition hasn't really been too tough for real, you know, just because, I'm putting a lot of energy into it. And I just had a great opportunity just through my university that they offered me to come back, man. So I've just been a fool, like, to pass it up, you know, still in my 20s. And, you know, it's just not too young to knock anything off the table, man. So, yeah, man, I'm happy. I'm happy that I'm back in my HBCU knocking it out, man, you know. It's crazy that you mentioned that. I was just having a conversation with one of my friends about just being back in school and stuff after all this time.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know.
Okay. Now, when you're back on the campus, does everybody recognize you as, well, I'm not going to say your real name, but as you know, oh, yeah, I know him. Yeah, you know, he's cool. Yeah, I grew up with him. We went to high school together, blah, blah, blah. Or do some folks look at you as the artist that you are and you get a lot of attention in that way? You know what I'm saying?
I would definitely say that, you know, too many people don't know me for the artistry so much, you know what I'm saying? Unless, you know, they follow me on Instagram or, you know, just heard of the music, mm-hmm. and stuff like that. I've had, you know, people come up to me like that. But, you know, more so just for me being here before and just the impact that I had on the university, just being a student leader and being an RA and, you know, just doing all these different types of things on campus, you know. I feel like that's what the recognition really comes from. And just seeing me back is just like a shock. So it's love, though, man. Like I said, it's a great thing to be back. I have a new president, man. I have to sit down and have a conversation with. And, you know, I really got some, like, just big plans planned for the university as well.
Fantastic. Quickly, I want to, well, I'm not going to say quickly. I want to go ahead and pass the mic over to Cotton Campbell. I'm pretty sure she has a question or comment. Cotton, do you have a question or comment? I don't have Cotton there. Is she there? Okay. Janet, you want to respond?
Well, I just have a comment. Akbar, you know, for you being a young man, I really admire the way you dress and the way you carry yourself in your videos. You know, it's like you're a role model to the way other young men and, you know, people should be dressing today. You know, so, I mean, just keep on doing what you're doing. You're doing a great job.
Thank you, Queen. I really appreciate that. You know, I just feel like the main thing is just being yourself, you know, and just doing what you feel like is fly in that moment, man, and not being so, you know, easily persuaded by just, like, mainstream thought, mainstream opinion and what, you know, people think you should be doing and stuff like that, man. I grew up in Columbus, and I feel like, you know, just growing up, it's such, like, a city is based on popularity, you know, and everybody just had to do the same thing or you was looked at, you know, in a weird way.
Different.
So I just always tried to, you know, I always tried to break out of that just by doing my own, even in middle school, like, you know, when everybody was wearing, like, super baggy clothes, I was actually wearing, like, skinny jeans and stuff like that. So, yeah, you know, and that was in your school, man. That was way back when. So,
trendsetter.
You know, Yeah, exactly. You know, just, I just felt like always, you know, if I felt like I was comfortable with something, you know, my grandmother, man, and my mom, they really instilled a lot of confidence just in me, you know what I'm saying, and just doing what I felt comfortable doing and just doing it undoubtedly and, you know, without shame. So,
right.
You know, that's just goes from, like, fashion to the music, just to how I, you know, interact with my daily life, you know, just being comfortable being yourself, man. You know, I feel like a lot of dudes, you know, we try to portray like a lot of macho, you know, just overly exert ourselves, you know, and we rob ourselves, you know what I'm saying, when we just focus on the masculine aspect, just because it has to be a yin and a yang to it, I feel like, you know, so, it's nothing wrong with using brute force, but it's nothing wrong with also thinking about where to apply it at the same time. So, you know, I that's just my mindset, my mentality about it.
Well, I appreciate you saying that, because I want to ask you something. In fact, Janet and I have talked about this, and I said I want to talk about this on the show. We're going to have a segment on the show, and we'd love for you to chime in. But the thing is, right now, I want to ask you this. The music industry, the rap industry, I've never heard of a rock artist having beef with another rock artist to the extreme. I've never heard of a country artist having beef with another country artist to do a ride-by shooting. When I say ride-by, they don't jump on their horse and go by their house. Okay. Boop, boop. That was a joke. But this happened in the This is happening in the rap community. As we know, the murder of Young Dolph, we know about the old days of the East Coast, West Coast, you know, Tupac and Biggie murdered, never solved. And now in this genre of music, this is what's happening. And listen to your music. That's not your style. I know that. I love your style. You have a great uplifting. You tell some great stories, but you're not threatening. You're not, you know what I mean? What's your take on this? And why is this going on in this particular genre of music, and how does it change, or how do you see it changing?
Man, I feel like it's such a heavy question, man, and I feel like it has a lot of layers to it. Just because, you know, I said a lot of layers to just our conditioning here in America, man, and how we've been manipulated, and how, you know, systems that we've created have been manipulated. If you look at hip-hop, you know what I'm saying, just from its, like, inception, you know, it wasn't, it didn't have the same type of gangster feel that it has now, you know what I'm saying? It was real, like, party funk, you know. You had the Sugar Hill Gang. You had, you know what I'm saying, just had the perception of it prior to, you know, major studio labels and executives getting involved. And so, you know, I feel like a lot of the times, you know, we look at the rap music that's out today and we put the mainstream rap music as, like, all of rap. And so, you know, a lot of rappers get a lot of flack, and a lot of young people just get a lot of flack for listening to hip-hop music, when it's really, you know, the mainstream promotes the negative music, rap music that we see. You know, it's not like Lupe Fiasco is being played on a radio station, or, you know, a lot of, like, because there's a lot of conscious people that rap and make songs that make good music, you know, that just don't get that same look just because that's not the image that they're trying to promote to young black males and young black females as well. You know what I'm saying? They're trying to exploit sexually, you know, they're trying to pit one up against another, you know, by using, like, social media beefs and getting rappers to beef with each other with all, like, I'm not sure if you're, like, aware of, like, all these social media accounts, like, that do, like, rap, hip-hop culture posts, and, you know what I'm saying, they really just instigate the beef between rappers and stuff like that, and I guarantee you that these platforms are all ran by, you know, Caucasians, man. And this is what I call, like, digital blackface, you know. So a lot of times, like, in the social media age, it's like a lot of digital blackface, you know, to where we would think that it's coming from, you know, somebody like us, just because, you know, like Complex or one of these major hip-hop type, you know, brands and stuff like that. We think it's all black because it's the same type of genre and it's targeted us. But in reality, you know what I'm saying, it's just an outside source. You know, for the longest, I thought DJ Vlad was a black dude, you know, until I, like, Googled an image of him. You know, so it's a reason that he sits off camera, you know, as he interviews dudes, you know what I'm saying, to talk about their criminal history. You feel me? It's a reason why, you know what I'm saying, he uses his distinguished voice and not his looks. You know, so I feel like, you know, once we realize how we're being manipulated, I feel like there's a lot of rappers that would classify themselves as gangster rappers that are, you know, taking a lot of, like, proactive steps into, you know, just bettering themselves, just from changing their diet. And, I feel like it's a wave of consciousness that we could be proud of in music, just with, like, self-development, but, you know, it's a long way that we got to go, just because I feel like the people that's looking up to the rappers aren't looking up to them for that reason. They're looking up to them for the reasons that, you know, we're taught to look up to dudes, because, you feel me, they kill dudes, they got a lot of guns, they got a lot of money, they got a lot of girls. So, you know, we just got to do, I feel like when it comes to, like, the killings and stuff like that, man, we just got to do a better job of just, you know, being, like, holding ourselves accountable for the youth. You feel me? Like, we look at the youth as, like, an isolated entity, you know, just isolated from us. And so a lot of, like, you know, a lot of, like, our older black, you know, generation and our older black people, just in general, you know, we'll see, like, a young dude with, like, dreads, or, you know what I'm saying, or tattoos on his hand or something like that, we'll already get, like, a certain disposition for him, you know what I'm saying, already have certain assumptions without even trying to build that bridge and build that connection, or even, you know what I'm saying, just seeing what that individual is about. So, you know, it's just like it's a divide and conquer thing that they've been able to do. And I feel like a lot of it is with the music industry, of just using that tool, not just to separate, you know, separate us as a people, but, you know, separate us into subgroups and look at each other differently as well. So, you know, like I said, it's a heavy layer thing, man. And, you know, I feel like the main way through it and the resolution through it at all is just ownership, just black ownership, man, and being able to control our narratives and being able to, you know what I'm saying, I'm sorry.
No. I agree with you because I like what you just said about, you know, the gangster rap and everything. Because, you know, when I think about that, I mean, I think about just us as blacks, period. I've always said, and I always feel, and correct me if I'm wrong or if you sense the same thing, is that where we have an identity crisis of who we are. You know, years ago when you filled out a paper application for a job, first it was Negro. I say this over and over again. Yes. You were either a Negro, you were later on, you were colored. First it was color, then it was Negro, then it was black, and then it became African-American. In the rap world, it was hip-hop, it was rap, then there was gangster rap. Then all of a sudden, here comes this thing called mumble rap, which I still don't understand the mumbling whatsoever, but someone can translate it. You know, you follow what I mean? It's like, it's a problem of us, you know, identifying what we are, you know.
And I feel like, you know, once we look at it, I feel like the same systems have been set in place for so long. Just even like looking at rappers and how they pit one up against another, you know what I'm saying, mm-hmm. just by using deceptive language, you know what I'm saying, in certain mm-hmm. articles, like who's really the king of the South or who's really, you know, the king of this city, mm-hmm. or, you know what I'm saying, something like, and stuff like that. And so when you really think about it, it's a modern form of, like, Mandingo fighting, like they used to do back in the day, where, you know, they'd take the slaves and they'll market it, and they'll, you know, market it big, though, you know, and have a whole to-do in the whole town and stuff like that. And, oh, this black dude's better than this one. He got the, you know what I'm saying? And so it's just like, that's what it's turned into, you know, to where it's like we'll go out there and we'll fight and kill just for our name in the mm-hmm. court of public opinion, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
Just for how people see us publicly, you know, so... And that's the manipulation aspect of it all. You know, if they build up this culture to where, you know, that's just the code of it. You got to ride for that. You know what I'm saying? And that's what we're going to feel like we got to dedicate our energy to. And that's where you see a lot of young dudes just go and crash out and, you know, get set up and sentenced to 45 years. And they can literally sit in the courtroom and not even bust a tear, you know, they really, you know, because they have internally accepted, you know what I'm saying, mm-hmm. this false code that we got out there, you know what I'm saying, this is how you're supposed to react, and you're just supposed to take that on the chin if that comes to it. So, you know, like scripture says, man, there's ways that seemeth right to a man, but the ways thereof are the ways of death, you know, and so that's, I feel like, how we live, and how we've been manipulated to live, and you know, we accept death, you feel me, like, rather than growing regular food, man, they came and hit us with GMOs and said it's better for us somehow, mm-hmm. you know, even though the food, the apples and the tomatoes we have been growing since Earth has been here, you know, and so, you know what I'm saying, so it's just ways like this where I feel like, you know, we live in another right. time where scripture is just basically just jumping off the page, man, and we can see the enchanter.
The scriptures are being revealed. That's just the bottom line.
You know,
God said will come to pass, right? I'm not trying to rush you, my brother, because I could sit here and listen to what you're saying, because you're speaking truth, and I do appreciate you doing so. But we're running the time. You know, when you're really having a good conversation, the clock seems to go faster. What I want to do right now is go ahead and play the second single that you brought us, which is Everlasting, and then we're going to get into the new single, all right? And definitely want you to share your contact information. Hey, you guys, you're listening to the TMGS, the Michael Gay Show, with my co-host, Janet Davis. Also, we had the one and only Time and Ship here, and we have Cotton Campbell on the line. And I see some folks who chimed in later on into the show. I see you on the board. I see you. Thank you for chiming in. We're going to go ahead and take a quick music break with our special guest, Akbar the Great. Here is Everlasting. We'll be right back.
And they call us the niggas illiterate. They hate we invented this rap. I know that they can't wait to say that they invented it. But we getting rich off the internet. Breakfast and bear your girl like an egg Benedict. And please act around, but we been legit. Yeah, we been legit. I don't do strangers. My city is dangerous. Please watch what you claiming. Young niggas posted up toting them bangers. If you see red dust, they aiming. Hanging out wish when they letting them go. No OGs here letting them know. Just those fiends that play with they nose and the saga continues. You know how it goes. I had to move different to get it. Play my position. Summers and Cincy, I never forget it. The money we getting, a young nigga cashing them checks. Got them looking. Just to get paper, the pictures we took them. And elevators is broke, got a footage. Go ahead, take them steps, boy, you gotta keep moving. Yeah, you gotta keep moving. That's just some shit that we gotta keep doing. This is the Odyssey, just call me Hercules. I killed this beat, this is murder and first degree. Premeditated, come get you like groceries. Hold up, I'm just popping my shit. At your door like you're late on the rent. Ask your girl about the piece that she sent. From her OnlyFans and I did pay a cent. Revolted for sugar and spices and say my pain is not that deep. If I get gunned out for some bullshit, I want you to turn this bitch into Haiti. I'm so appalled, they love us with balls. But back in the day, they would hack off our balls. Niggas get lynched for using their stalls. Running from God, got them flying to Mars. But you can't escape it, and all of his greatness. I'm telling the haters for their vacation. A fiery lake pit and dinners with Satan. I didn't
pay a dime, boy, that used to be mine. Back in the day when Corona and Lime would play on my phone when you hit my line. But it's been a minute. A very long time, but you're still so fine. Like some Earl O'May back in 99. Ain't spoke in a while, but you're still on my mind. And you're still on my mind. Baby, tell me how you did. Baby, tell me where you is. Where you been hiding? Since you got a man, I'll be the first to understand that the good ones go.
Welcome back to TMGS, the Michael Gay Show, broadcasting live from the ATL, Atlanta, Georgia. That's Akbar the Great with Everlasting. Wow. I love how you, I mean, everything that you, that I've heard that you do is positive. I mean, when you listen to Young Righteous Black Girl, positive, you know, about, you know, a beautiful queen, a woman, everlasting, positive, you know, got to keep moving forward, got to keep doing. It's no negative. Everything you do that I've heard is uplifting. It's,
yes, sir, man.
And it touches every, you know what I'm saying? You moving on. It's not, you're not stuck in one place. You address different issues and different situations. Am I correct?
I would agree with you on that, man. I try to always just look at music and look at a song. It's like, you know, it has to tell a story. It has to, you know, have some type of resolve at the end of it all. So with Young Righteous Black Girl, just, you know, the anthem for black women around the world, just to, you know, realize just their legacy in the world, being the mothers of civilization, you know, taking it back to ancient Kemet, taking it to Timbuktu, you know, where the first university in the world was created, you know. So, you know, I just feel like it's important to shed light on those topics. I feel like it's important to shed my perspective just on dealing with relationships, man. I have a couple of songs on the album, from Gossip to Rendezvous. You know, and I just try to make good music at the end of the day, man, and just be truthful to myself, you know.
Yeah, and that's exactly what it is, and we're very appreciative of it. Now, before we run out of time, I have about 20 minutes, 19 minutes. We got to get into the new single, and after we play it, first I want to ask you, how did this song come about, All Right, and it's spelled A-L-R-8, All Right, okay, featuring Karen White, and you're on the, and just give us a little background on that, how that song came about, and the label that you're on, her label. Just give us a little information.
Yeah, man, I was working on my mixtape at the time, and I found this real, like, up-tempo, it kind of gave me, like, an 80s vibe, like, Jesse's Girl or something like that, you know, type of track. And, you know, I just start writing to it. I felt super inspired by it. I just start writing to it. And I was just in a mode right there where it was just, like, you know, dealing with, like, a breakup and relationships, you know what I'm saying? I felt like, you know what I'm saying, I didn't need anybody at that time just to make me feel good. I can feel good about myself just being by myself. You know, I can feel good with myself. I'm comfortable with myself. And so I felt like that was an important message just to translate over into the music, into the song, that, you know, you got to be happy with yourself first, man, before you can be happy with anybody else, or else, you know, that's a... you know, calls for a toxic relationship and a toxic connection.
You introduce this new single. Let you go ahead and introduce it to the listeners. Your mic is on.
Oh, most definitely. Most definitely, man. This next song right here is All Right by Akbar the Great and the iconic superwoman, Miss Karen White. I hope y'all enjoy it, man.
Hey, excuse me.
You told him number four, but he back for more. And shorty, how could you blame him? Cause you a wild thing. So sick to the glitz and beautiful brown thing. Hey, I ain't never seen it. Girl, you hot, seem like you let it hit from Venus. I let your body serving looks like a Serena. I won't bother you, Victoria, I just wanna know your secret. Hey, look, I'ma keep it, man. Cause I can make it fly, I'm like Peter Pan. Cause I can see you lonely and you need a man. Your last nigga was a kid, but the goat is bad. Tie me down like a drive-by, but feel no pain when I look up in them brown eyes. I'm only here for a good time. Another shorty cross the weight is behind me, so I'm feeling alright. Down like Bobby Vici at the theme song. A lot of niggas tryna drive you, throw a ring on, but instead I'm tryna be the one you lean on. Lean on your man. I can make you fly, I'm like Peter Pan. Cause I can see you lonely and you need a man. Your last nigga was a kid, but the goat is bad. Tie me down like a drive-by, but feel no pain when I look up in them brown eyes. I'm only here for a good time. Another shorty crossed the weight is behind me, so I'm feeling alright.
Let's go. dropping out them schools. All them black girls labeled with an attitude. Teachers never round up cause they mad at you. Then they glad when dudes get it by themselves and they praising you. They act like it's everything they gave to you, but they fail to mention anything they say or do. So lean on your man, I can make you fly, I'm like Peter Pan. Cause I can see you lonely and you need a man. Your last nigga with your fear, but your goat is bad. Got me down like a drive-by. I'm on no pain when I look up in them brown eyes. I'm only here for a good time. Another shorty crossed the way that's behind me, so I'm feeling alright.
Welcome back to the TMGS, the Michael Gay Show. That's Akbar, the great, with All Right, featuring Karen, goddess, Miss Karen White. And I'm looking at Bring It Boy here on the board. He says, sounds old school, B. Brown. I guess he meant Bobby Brown. And I posted back. I said, that was the ideal. And he says, it's fresh. And, you know, that's another topic, because if you look at Bruno Mars, you know, he's bringing back the old school sound. You know, music, regardless, if you think about classical, if you think about rock, if you think about R&B, music always goes in full circle, no matter what. Okay, there's only so many chords you can play on a piano. Everything always goes in full circle. Hey man, that's an awesome track, and we only have a few minutes left. I really want to go around the board and let the ladies speak and say what they have to say. And then after that, I'd love for you to share the contact information, how our listeners can get this great music. I want to go with the Janet Davis first. Janet, your final questions or comments?
Yes, I definitely will be getting that music. It was just brought back memories. You know, you just keep getting better and better. Keep up the good work.
Thank you, Queen. That's love. Oh, man, I really appreciate that, man. I really appreciate that.
All right. Cotton Candy? Cotton, you have any words? Okay, I don't know what happened to Cotton. I see she's still on the board, but she's not responding. All right, so Akbar, please share the contact information or how everyone can get this music. And, you know, we definitely appreciate you coming back on. Third time we've had him on the show, and that's what I love about what we do. We are a variety show, and we try to share some great guests, great artists, and not just in the music, but if you listen to the entire conversation, this brother has a lot to share, and we'd love for you to come back. So thank you again so much.
Oh, man, that's love, man. And I really appreciate the invite, like, once again, man. I love the platform. We always have, you know, thought conversations on here, man. So, you know, I really always appreciate that interview. My social medias from Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, all under the same handle, Akbar the G8, A-K-B-A-R, T-H-E-G, and then the number 8. It's going to be Akbar the G8. That's on all social media platforms. And also with the music, man, you can check me out on Apple Music, Spotify, Pandora, everywhere that streams music at Akbar. You know, you can do Akbar YRBG or search my new EP, you know, I just recently released Born King, and check it out. With it has 11 songs, remixed YRBG is on there as well. So I got a lot of projects, man, that I'm working on right now. Currently, I can't wait to announce a little bit later. But, you know, like I said, it's been a pleasure rocking out with y'all. You know, we can do this most definitely soon, man, once we put out some more projects.
We're looking forward to it, my brother. Seriously, we are. And you're always welcome to chime in anytime we're doing our show here. And, you know, as I said, we're a variety show. We talk about a lot of different things socially, or I'm sorry, I should say, what's going on in social media, what our communities are listening to, what they're following. And, you know, we try to expose, you know, the negatives and the positives, you know. Get away from the negatives, people. Tune into the positives. And last thing, real quick, I got 10 minutes. I have to ask you this. What did you think about the Super Bowl halftime show, that old school vibe?
Oh, man, I thought it was dope, man. It really, you know, took me back. One thing I do wish that it was a little bit longer, man, if my only complaint, you know. I just thought it was dope hearing all the hits at the halftime show. I feel like the past couple of different halftimes for the Super Bowl have been, you know, just – you've been in and out,
so,
man. So, you know, to have something to really listen to and really keep your attention for the whole time, man, you know, they most definitely need to do a follow-up, you know what I'm saying, or readjust the roster or, you know, but to keep the hits coming, though, man. Whoever casted that, they knew what they was doing.
Right. Yeah, I thought it was. You know, I've heard a lot of folks on certain shows say that it was all right, you know, and I'm like, actually, now, to be honest, the Prince halftime show is one of the classics. A lot of folks would say the Whitney Houston and Beyonce and everything, but I guess it depends on what, you know, age you are. Or if you watch Super Bowls and halftime shows, you have to see them all, I guess, to really put them in order. But I thought that was I thought that the stage production was awesome, the way they set it up with the ease of, I forgot what they had the logo on there, but that was the old restaurant.
I feel like they most definitely, took a bite out of Kanye's book with the whole stage costume design that they had for the stage and stuff like that, having it, you know, look like a villa and stuff like that. So
how they had like the Google map on the, you know, field, you know, with the streets and everything. I thought that was really, you know, neat, you know, I thought it was great. It was very well arranged. It you know, as you said, it could have went longer, you know, but that's a halftime show. You know, they got a certain amount of time. All right, so the time is now 7:53. We still got 7 more minutes. With you being in school, and how much time, I think you already said, but how much more time you have to finish up to get your degree, and how soon will we look at you, just seeing you being, you know, on a tour, performing, and everything, you know, what is your time frame for all that to happen? Because obviously you are definitely busy, and you got a lot going on with your education and your music. How are you scheduling all that? I'm pretty sure that's mind-boggling how you can do it all.
As of right now, you know, I'm just taking it a day at a time, honestly. You know, it hasn't been too overwhelming yet, man. So, you know, I'm just, you know, just being grateful that I'm in a position like this, you know, being able to go to school and be able to do music simultaneously, you know, with the R&B icon that you used to listen to on Saturday mornings when you was cleaning up your grandma's crib. So, you know, just the whole thing in itself, man, it's still been a blessing, man. It's still a surreal feeling and a surreal vibe. So I'm not, you know, I try not to stress myself out with, you know, with things that I shouldn't even be stressing about, man. We most definitely have some shows coming up in Las Vegas, man. I was blessed to do some shows at the beginning of this year out in Baltimore and in Nashville. I'm sorry about that, but you know, excited just because even being out here at school, man, you know, I've been able to hit the stage a few times as well with some local club bars and stuff like that, and just being on campus, you know, when they throw, like, pep rallies and stuff like that. So, you know, it's been different ways, man, but my biggest milestone right now is just Calc 2 homework that, you know, I got to knock out. So everything else is definitely going to fall in place.
Right. Hey, man, again, I just want to thank you so much for supporting us, the Team GS, coming on and sharing your knowledge, you know, not just through the music, but just, you know, just you, you know, the individual, and sharing that. That is such a blessing, and it's just an honor to have you on, because you are able to communicate through your music. And then when you finish your degree, you're going to be able to have more power of communicating and doing things. So it's great to have people like you on the show. I'm just thankful. Hey, you guys, don't forget, go to Akbar's pages, go to social media. He already told you how to do so. All you have to do is just Google, and it's going to show everything. You just go to, you know, it's going to show you everything that you need to know and get the music, support this video. Awesome, you know. And also remember that next Saturday here on the TMGS, we have another special guest, which is St. James and his crew of great artists. That's what we do. You know, we share with you what you may not know, and we're blessed and honored to have these special guests here on the TMGS. Akbar, man, all I can say is God bless you. Thank you so much again. And we look forward to scheduling you to come and visit us again when, you know, you can share more of what you're doing. We definitely want to know when, you know, you finish your education, which is very important for anyone who's in school or considering to go to school. If you're considering dropping out of school, don't do it. Keep getting your education. The music industry is not always promised, okay? You know, it's a blessing, like you just said.
Especially if you already started two situations.
I'm sorry?
No,
what did you say?
I was just saying, especially if you already started. Especially if you already started school, man. There's no point in, you know,
right,
having them loans hit you for no reason, mm-hmm, man. So you might as well get something out of it.
Right. All right, we got to get out of here. I'm down to 2 minutes. Thanks to my guests, okay, my special guest, Akbar the Great. Thanks to my co-host, Janet Davis, Cotton Campbell, and also, of course, Time and Ship. Now, some folks might ask, where are the other special guests? Well, some of them have some things to do, as most of us do, and they can't be here every Saturday, but they'll be back. Denise L. Wilkerson of the legendary Living God will be joining us in March. So in the meantime and in between time, you guys keep lifting your head up. Don't look down, because God is above you, not below you. God bless. Enjoy the rest of your weekend. We'll see you next Saturday here on The Michael Gay Show. I'm going to leave you guys with another clip from the late, great Mr. Lynn Tolliver. Good night.
We all can't be the same. Some of us have to be farmers. Some have to be doctors or bus drivers. You see, each has a purpose. If we were all doctors, how would we eat or get from one place to another? You get my drift. We all think different. It is our God-given right to think what we want, be wrong or right. That is our privilege. But here are the facts. We think what we think because, whatever the premise, our thoughts are determined on how involved we are personally in the incident or action. Because it isn't you, you are free to think whatever, left side or right side. But if it were you, that picture may change. As a man thinketh, or woman, so are they. God, you know tomorrow, and you know right now. Some of the ways we think determine how we act, and often we can think ourselves into places we don't really want to go. Help us think positive and become positive, so we can do positive and be productive. This I ask you, God, for all of us. Amen.